morning I want to address an area we have talked on quite a few times, but it comes up periodically, and I think we will learn today why the Lord reminds us of what we're walking, what we're facing. And today I'm calling this Facing Your Giants. Facing Your Giants. If you don't know that you have giants that oppose you personally, then you're in for a bit of a surprise today, because you do. The world out there says, face your giants. Well, how much more then for the overcomers? And God permits, allows these giants to oppose us only for a season. Because you see, the nature of these giants is to rob God of his glory and to defame him. And God will only allow that for so long. But giants are defeated through the overcomers. That is the nature and the way that God works it. Giants are not just going to go by just telling them, will you please leave? I'm afraid they don't work that way. They are defiant. They are rebellious. They are defiled. They know their destiny, which is the bottomless pit. And they want to try and take as many with them as they can. They are militant. They are aggressive. They lie. They deceive. They are everything that you can imagine that is opposite to God and his ways, his holiness. And so we have to face these giants. And as usual, I need to appeal to one of the great stories with regard to this in 1 Samuel 17, where, as we know, Israel in her battles is facing the Philistines. And amongst the Philistines, they have a great warrior by the name of Goliath, who is a giant, who stood some 12, 13 feet high. And, of course, this giant fed the Philistines in giving them encouragement to fight. And so often Goliath was put in the front row, or he would be the first one to come out to reveal the strength and might of the Philistines. Now, this giant, as we know the story, was blaspheming the children of Israel, blaspheming their God. And Israel is gripped with fear. And like fear, the nature of fear will always cause you to retract, to compromise, to run away. And that is what people will generally do, because they don't want to face their giants. Psychiatrists today, their surgeries are filled to overflowing people they're trying to help who cannot face their giants, who run away. And of course, we know that the nature of medical science can only just relieve temporarily. Well, when we come to Christ, we have our sins dealt with, but our baggage is still with us that has to be removed. And the removing of that baggage is done stage by stage. A lot of Christians will have you believe that when you come to Christ, all your baggage is removed, everything, you are totally free. You are indeed, by faith. Legally, it is done. And thank God for that. But if what they teach is true, then one raises the question, well, then why is there any need of walking by faith in this world? No, we're left in this world to walk by faith so that what God legally has done for us in forgiving us and casting sin away as far as the east is to the west and delivering us and showing us that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary, that is appropriated. And so our walk of faith is that we legally take back what the enemy has stolen. That is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time Jesus healed, delivered, saved in his humanity, that was a clear sign of dividing Satan's kingdom, weakening it. And so the church, Christians, are kept still in this world, preserved and kept by Almighty God for the purpose of not only preaching the kingdom of God, but in that preaching and with its signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation, which is the full message, the full gospel, that is a means of exposing, dividing Satan's kingdom, his hold. In other words, the giants are being dealt with. The church is to possess the promised land by faith now. And most would have you wait until you get into glory. And so the church just hangs about in its weak state, waiting to be taken up when they die. But that is not what my Bible shows. That is not what the early church at Pentecost saw when the church was birthed and they were baptized and going out proclaiming the gospel. That is far from what a lot you hear today. And the reason that we have this apathetic message, this lukewarm message, is that because so many of God's people have very little insight of what really the true body of Christ is and her function. And I believe that these giants that we are facing are giants in nature that I believe the enemy has used and is using, because they're only there because the enemy has put them there. I believe these giants are giants in nature that are opposing and stopping the body of Christ from coming into its fullness, into its power that God has prepared for it to come into. See, the enemy is not stupid. And the way these giants will be dealt with is that the overcomers will not run away from them. And that's why I've called Facing Your Giants this morning. The children of Israel were running away from Goliath. And every time he opened his mouth and blasphemed and cursed, that fear within them caused them to run away. Now, of course, Israel, like any army, had at that time a weak leader. And that leader, as we read there, was Saul. And Saul was compromising. Saul was chosen by the people. He was a people's man. He was not a man after the heart of God. They, if you like, chose a star. He had all the physical outward attributes that made him a star. But he was weak. He had very little discernment. He was not really hearing what God was saying. And so because that fear is in him, that compromise is in him, being a leader, their king, every time Goliath opens his mouth, he's running with them as well. And they will follow their leaders. That is the nature of man. Because God says we're like sheep. And so we see that God has to raise leaders up after his own heart. And those leaders are an encouragement to the others not to run or to run away from your giants. But you see, God, as we read the story, and I'm not reading it all here because we've read it many times, we know that there is someone out there that has been anointed, who is called to be king. David, who is after the heart of God, the son of Jesse, that shepherd boy out in the fields looking after the sheep, gets to hear that the army of Israel are running away from this giant. But you see, this young shepherd boy, God, had been working with him. Note where he is. He's not with the army. He's not where the crowd is. He's out in the field looking after sheep on his own with God, God teaching him. A type of wilderness. That is where he's being trained. God has separated him from all the rest of him and from his brothers also. We know that because when Samuel came to anoint him, we notice that he calls for, the sons of Jesse. And, of course, the father presents them all, and thinking that this is going to be. And he says, this is not right. Is there another one somewhere? He said, well, yeah, I've got one, but he's young. He's out in the field there. Bring him in. And you see, the Spirit witnessed. That's the one. See? That is the one. And so we see the story now unfolding, how God is beginning to prepare behind the scenes. And so this young shepherd boy who looks after the sheep, and he's already been encouraged because he's already rent a lion that would try to attack the sheep and a bear. And with his own hands and with the anointing of God, he was able to rescue those sheep. So we're already seeing the nature of the heart of this man. Fearless. He comes on the scene and says, I'll fight him. And of course, they're disdain. They're upset by it. You know, how can a young man like this, a ruddy young chap, fight against a great giant like this? And of course, in their own feeble attempts, they try to put the armor on him and the helmet and the sword and everything. And he said, I can't work with this. Why couldn't he work with it? Because he's not used to it. He's not used to man's efforts. He's not used to man's feeble attempts of trying to defeat the enemy. And nor are you. You don't fit in that armor of unbelief that the world runs to for support, for security. It just doesn't fit you. And you see, man will try and put it on us. And there they were, they tried to put it on him, and it didn't even fit him. And it never will. The world's ways will never fit the overcomer. Because you're not made for it. You're not destined for it. And so in the end, when you realize it doesn't fit and everything, you can't wait to get it off. And then you use the tools that God has trained you in. In our case, it's the sword of the Spirit. With King David, it was those five pebbles that he chose and selected. You see, God had trained him, worked him to be a master with that sling. And he knew the power, the confidence of the weapon that God had placed within his hands. And so with that, he said, and you read it all there, he spoke confidently that you will see this man slain, and that I will kill him and bring his head to you. Faith was already speaking. And so, of course, when this little chap, young chap, appears on the scene, the giant is disdained, is disgusted that Israel can bring out such a beautiful young man and are prepared as cowards to feed him to the dogs. That's what he was thinking. He was absolutely disgusted in their behavior, because that was a cowardly act that Israel was presenting before this Philistine. So even this Philistine, as reprobate as he was, looking at this fine young chap, thinking that he's going to make mincemeat of him, was disdained within him. And of course the battle then is on. And he runs toward the giant. And he knows that this day the giant will be given into his hands. Because he knew that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And by the Spirit of the Lord, he flung this pebble, as we know. And with all that armor he'd gone on, there was just a little place where he was still naked and bare, and it was in the forehead, the forehead. The ideal place to knock out your enemy. And he did. A lot of people think that that pebble killed him. No, it didn't. It stunned him. It stunned him and knocked him to the ground. But you see, he knew that that was not enough. And we have to learn also that sometimes we stun our enemy, but you've got to realize it is not enough. The giants have to be destroyed. And as a result of it, he goes there and he slays him, and then he cuts off his head. Finishes him off. That is the story of Goliath, which we all know very well, and many, many children are given those stories as well. But we have to accept that there are giants with many believers. And that's why I opened up, because many believers don't really acknowledge those giants. To acknowledge giants is defeat. To acknowledge giants is not a good confession. To acknowledge giants is putting the Lord down. And they're failing to see that there are giants in their lives, and that the Lord wants them to overcome as he has overcome those giants. Jesus faced giants in his life, one of which spoke through Peter. That demon speaking, that giant, tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus dealt with that giant. Get thee behind me, Satan. He was moving forward. So you see, there was already a giant that tried to stop him fulfilling the perfect will and plan of God. And that is why these giants are there, to stop you, your life, being fulfilled in God's perfect plan. Because your giants that you overcome, which is moving you into the perfect will and plan of God, is what builds up and empowers the body of Christ. The body of Christ is still weakened by the fact that those giants still oppose and stop us moving in to the perfect plan that God has for our lives and for the church. You see, the nature of the deeper life majors on deliverance. That is the nature of the deeper life. The deeper life, that going through that door into a deeper walk, is so that we overcome, that we overcome these giants and that we don't run away from these giants. Every time you are failing, it's not because you are trying to overcome that giant. You never will. We've all at times thought, I can overcome this giant. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, which is true. You don't overcome these giants in yourself. You overcome them by facing them. That is the deliverance. It is facing full on that giant and not retracting, not running away, not believing its lies, its deceptions, which Israel was doing. I mean, you think about it. Most of those men were running away from that giant. Now, most of them had not even faced this giant actually in a literal warfare. They were simply going by the looking at it and listening to what he was saying. But that's the irrationality of fear. That's what fear will do, because fear is irrational. People who are held in mental oppression, people who are under psychiatry, you will always find that there is strong fear that is attached to it. I had a phone call late last night from a young man. I think I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I said, hang on a minute, hang on. Let's go back. And I said, what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Let's go back to what it actually means. And when we settle on what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is, then I said, have you done that? Why? No. It's just that he'd been disobedient. I said, that's not blasphemy, that's just rebellion. And there's a vast difference. And immediately that fear was being dealt with. I don't know, it was one of those things last night. I had two or three phone calls from various different people, and all with fear problem. And that fear holding them in irrational thinking. Can't think straight, panicking. Well, I count it a privilege that they actually rung me, that I was able to help them through the guidance of the Lord to try and work that stability there in their thinking. But this is what fear will do. What are they doing? What do we do? They're not facing their giants. So the nature of the deeper life is deliverance. And you see, deliverance can never happen if we're going to run away, because fear, unbelief is going to cause one simply to do this. We often deceive ourselves in thinking, well, God knows. And it's the way we say it. It's almost cynical. Well, God knows. As though it's letting me off the hook. And it doesn't. God does know, and the thing is, he wants you to know. That's the point, you see. And we give in to these giants. And the reason we give in to them is because we're not facing our giants. Sometimes, you know, we think that there is another way of escape. Israel very often fell for that. They looked for other escapes, other means, other ways. They're always looking for an easy way out of the wilderness. But God had one way for them. But they were always rebelling against that way that he had for them. And we do exactly the same. We can do it whether individually or corporately as a church. There are times that the way God has for us, set for us, I don't like it. It just you know, winds me up. It's exposing these things in me, and that way that God has for me, I know full well there are giants through that way. You know, we all go through it. We feel it. Give me a break. And so we look for that break and we think, oh, well, I'm going to go off on holiday. Little realizing you may have a good time, but you've got to come back and face it. We all do it because we're running away from these giants instead of just facing them. And when you face them, then the presence of God is there in which to deal with them. And you know it's there. Because he's there. They can never be defeated by ourselves. We know that we can never, we're no match to them. But as we face them under that anointing and the presence of God, then God equips us with what is needed in which to destroy them. And that is our overcoming. That is our pressing in. That is the bride making herself ready. That is us moving forward into the devil's territory. As we face the giants. You see, the biggest problem that we have in facing these giants is that old pride. Because that pride won't let you admit you're running away. After all, who wants to be a coward? It's not exactly very edifying, is it, being a coward? And, you know, it takes quite a lot of breaking and humbling to actually admit, well, I was a coward there. I was actually just running away. Because that is what cowards do. Cowards always run away. And God hasn't saved you to be a coward. But sometimes we have to confess we are exactly what we are, a coward, in order to get that deliverance from being it. And that's difficult. It's very difficult for a man. Particularly, because men are inbred not to be cowards, although we've got a different generation coming up, which is completely different. But generally speaking, you know, men will do anything not to reveal that they're a coward. And that is why you see these dictators, these despots, that do such damage that when they're caught, you then see the true nature of what they really are. I mean, with all due respect, Gaddafi, when he was caught, what did he reveal in nature? An absolute coward. And that is what it is. That is when pride cannot really admit that I am and I need help. And you see, if that's not dealt with, if a man doesn't humble himself before the presence of Almighty God, then in that coward way, he builds up a superficial armor. And that's why he does the things that he does. Inhumane. Hitler was a coward. How do we know? He committed suicide. You look through these despots right through history and you'll see every time when caught, when cornered, when judged by God, that coward nature cows and comes out.
That's right.
Does. Now God is delivering you and I from that because that's what it does. Cowards are cruel. Cowards don't know love. They will do the most inhumane things. This is why we see the abuse. This is why we see what goes on today in society, in family life, because a lot of men can't admit that they're really cowards. You see? The spirit of this age is all the time weakening the male. You see? But he won't admit that. That pride will always stay there. But you see, a true man of God will bow down the knee to that. This is cowardice in my life, and I don't want it, and I want you to deliver me from it so that I can be the man you want me to be. That is how you get delivered. And that is how you face your giants. We all have giants in different ways and forms. Let's look at some areas now, because I believe God's setting deliverance, and sometimes some messages are really in nature a real deliverance attached to them. And let's look at some of these areas where we are weakened, where we're not facing our giants. And the first area that we're falling victim to our giants running away is because our consecration is still weak before God. Now, we are by faith consecrated, but we may not be in that place of consecration that God wants us. Because to be in consecration means that you are protected, you are preserved, you are set apart unto God. And that is vital if these giants are to be removed. Because that consecration gives you discernment. It causes you to see, you see. So that is absolutely vital, that we're consecrated unto God, unto what He wants for us, the meetings, this church, our functioning. It's all part of our consecration unto Almighty God. So that's the first area. The second area where we might not always be facing our giants as we should is because we still lack in that prayer life, which is essential. A prayer life which means that I am praying and seeking God as well as praying with my brothers and sisters. That prayer life gives us that ability, that boldness to stand before Almighty God and before those giants. A prayer life will do that. It's part and parcel of giants being removed. Because giants are removed so often by a prayer life in praying, pressing in warfare. Our warfare against giants is also connected with prayer, intercession. You can't connect or take any of them apart. They're all intertwined together, spiritually speaking. I don't know of anyone who can do spiritual warfare who doesn't have a prayer life. It's just totally incongruous. I've already spoken on this, but I don't want to bring this up a stage further, but I've already revealed how pride will hinder those giants from being removed. And the reason also is that pride also causes blindness. And so blindness stops you from seeing those giants that are in your life, because you can't really see them properly. You're aware that there's trouble. You're aware there's strife. You're aware there's hindrances and that going on, but you're not really seeing. And if you can't see the giants, then how can you be in warfare? How can you deal with those giants if you don't see them? And so, like all things, God has to remove the scales from our eyes in order that we see the enemy that we are facing. But you see, we can say to ourselves, and I've had this, I'm thinking, why is it I didn't see that before? Why is it I was not aware of that giant, and it's taken 20 years or so walking with God, and now I see it? But I didn't see it before. Well, I didn't see it before because God didn't open my eyes to see it. So God's always in control. And God uses everything. He uses our pride. He uses our rebellion. Not only which to break us, but at that right time, then to open our eyes that we can see it. And then often you think, well, thank God that He did work it that way, because I probably would clear it off and never come back. I mean, how many of us have thought, when we came to Christ, that if we could see down the corridors of time what we were going to go through, I bet most of us wouldn't be sitting here today. Well, I couldn't face that. No way. We'd have all run a mile. You wouldn't have followed the Lord. So thank God he didn't show us in his infinite mercy and wisdom. So that pride removes that blindness so that we can see the giants fully. You can face your giants. And of course, that's what psychiatrists and psychologists are trying to do with these people that go. They're trying to help them to face their giants. When we're hoping that somebody else will take the giants away. You see. Now, why is the church, the overcomers, being encouraged and admonished to face its giants? Because like Goliath, that had to be removed, the removal of Goliath was deliverance for the children of Israel. And so the removal of these giants that oppose the true church of Jesus Christ in this last day have to be removed for deliverance for God's people. The releasing of groaning creation. Romans 8. Can you see how it's fitting in now? Yes. Not all are destined, trained for these giants. Out of all Israel and that army, we don't quite, it doesn't tell us how many thousands there were, but there were quite a lot. Only one man out of the whole lot was chosen who met the standard, the credentials, in order to deal with that giant. The rest of them couldn't. And so that is why we see it's certainly less than 1%. Who are being trained, who are being empowered, who are enabled to be able to see these giants in order to take them so that the rest of God's people can get that deliverance. It's no good griping and moaning at the rest of Christendom. It's no good getting frustrated and angry, and yes, Lord, I'm listening to this. Because they're gripped by fear. They don't see it. But you do. Therefore, move with God what he's expecting from you. And you watch. The rest will come on. That is the nature of it. That is the nature. And so God, in his love and mercy and grace, is dealing with us, removing these hindrances so that we can see. So that the church can move forward for its ministry. But what has God been ultimately delivering us all from? And still is working. That number one demon. Fear. You have been and are being delivered from fear. That is why, as that fear is removed, you begin to see what fear does and how irrational it is. And I listen to you, you know, and your stories and whatever it is, whether it's in your family, whether you see it at work, your bosses, whatever it is, you see how irrational things are now that go on. You just think it's crazy. Even with our laws, even in politics, you just hear these things and you think, this is crazy what they're saying and talking about and so on. What fear will do. How far man will do what he will do because fear is motivating him and pushing him. That's why the mark of the beast that is so irrational, that is so contrary to God, is motivated because of fear. I had an email this week. It's already the mark. is ready. There are people now taking it. Wealthy people at the moment are having the mark injected into them. And this is interesting. The only place that this mark, this chip, can fully operate and recharge itself is either in the forehead or actually the right hand. Other places around the body, it's not able to rejuvenate, recharge. It can only recharge in those two areas. And so they inject it in, and some have already taken it, particularly wealthy people, in case they're kidnapped because of their wealth, and then they can find where they are through, you know, up above. They can detect where people are kidnapped and they can find them. It's already there. The technology is there. What motivates that? Fear. I heard recently that Tel Aviv airport, they've now got something you can walk into. It's a bit like a telephone booth, but a bit bigger. And anybody who's got a bomb on them or whatever goes into this and it will detonate it without causing, you know, damage. But of course it will kill them, but it will detonate it off. Now, a lot of people say, clever. But what's motivating behind that? Fear. And it just goes on and on. Wars are instigated, motivated by fear. Massacres happen because of fear. Dictators that want that control because of fear. And so it goes on. That is how irrational fear is. And that is the very thing the overcomers, you, are being delivered from. They are giants. They are giants. Little wonder the enemy's opposing like he does. No, it's that biggest demon. And we're facing it by God's grace and mercy. Because that fear will always, in return, attack the very thing that pleases God, and that is faith. Because without it, you cannot please God. And so the enemy knows exactly the number one demon to attack the world with, because he knows in return that attacks the very thing that pleases God, faith. And it does. You know those areas of unbelief in your life. You trace them right back. You look at it, you look at how it works, and you can go right back to the number one thing, fear. What if? So I better, because. So he's delivering us. And the way he delivers us, he brings us right back to these giants. And we run away from them, and we find we come back again. And we run away, and we find we come back. And we run away, and we find we come back. But every time we're coming back, we're getting weaker. And we you know, and you're thinking, this running away. Oh, it's just, you know, I'm sick of it. Until eventually you stand there. And once you stand there and you face it, there's your deliverance. That's all God wanted, to face it, to just see it for what it is. And there is the deliverance. Can I stay a step further? The reason that those giants have to retract, because finally when you are facing it and seeing it, it's not you that's facing it, but it's Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. That's why you can't overcome it, but Christ in you can and does. Because they're eventually going to see not you, but Jesus in you. Can you see now why the devil does what he does? Hallelujah. No, it's just the lack of seeing God's greatness, his bigness, his sovereignty. And that's what he's opening our eyes up to. He's so big, he's so great, he is in you. And so everything that is in you, the enemy sees that and he will run, he will flee. But you do it in your own strength and you've lost. You've lost. That is why John the Baptist, when he saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he said, I decrease, that he increases. There is where it's won. That is the victory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Face your giants, but not in your own strength, in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today. Thank you. We need to hear this. Thank you, Father, for the deliverance that you have set. I believe in this teaching, Lord. Father, I thank you for the way you reveal these things. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this. It can only come by the Spirit. And Lord, this is where we're seeing groaning creation being delivered, set free, Lord. Father, we will not, by your mercy and grace, run away from these giants. We stand, Father, facing them, not in our own strength and ability, but in the power and grace and mercy of God. And that's why we can say it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Spirit, Lord. The very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the very Spirit that resides, lives within us. That is where those giants flee. Lord, I thank you for that. And that is what you're teaching us, Lord. And that is why we're well able to take the land. I thank you that you have made us of another spirit, Lord. That we're not like the rest that run back in fear and unbelief. But we're well able to take the Goliaths, because you have put within our hands spiritually those weapons. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for bringing us together in fellowship, in unity, in oneness. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord Jesus.